In today's gospel from Mark, we have two quite dramatic stories of healing, and my scripture professor in the seminary would have called this a Markan sandwich, because this is a literary device that Mark often uses, where he sandwiches one story between part one and part two of another story. So that's exactly what we have here. A part one of one story is the introduction of Jairus. Jairus is an important person in Capernaum. He's a synagogue leader, and he comes up to Jesus, and clearly he has a strong faith in Jesus, and clearly he's desperate, and understandably so, because his little daughter of 12 years old is dying. And so anybody who has children can imagine the desperation that he must be feeling. So he comes to Jesus, who's known now in the area for his healing power. He's confident that if he can just get Jesus to his house before his daughter dies, that he'll be able to heal her. And then Jesus agrees to accompany Jairus back to his house. So that's part one of the first story, but now we have the sandwich part. And so as they're walking there, they're in a big crowd, and there's a woman who's had a severe bleeding problem for also 12 years. And she thinks, if I just touch his clothes, then I too will be healed. And so she is able to get close enough to Jesus in the crowd and touch his cloak, and she's healed. And Jesus feels the healing power come out of him. And then he stops and wonders who has touched him. So I guess what's interesting to me about this scene is Jairus. Because Jairus is desperate for Jesus to come back with him to his house. And now Jesus is stopping to talk to this woman and apparently having a conversation with her, because we know all of these details about her. So these are the details: that she's been suffering for 12 years, that she's seen many doctors, that she doesn't have the money to be able to be helped. And so all of Jesus is conversing with this woman, and Jairus is right there, desperate that Jesus come back with him to his home. And so that's a big test of faith for Jairus. I'm curious what was going on inside Jairus at that time. Was he able to have confidence that Jesus knew what he was doing, or was he panicking inside? Jesus, get a move on. Stop talking. Come on. Well, then his fears then come true when, while Jesus is still talking to the woman, people from Jairus' house come and tell him that his daughter has indeed died, and there's no reason for Jesus to come anymore. What must have gone on in Jairus' heart when he hears this? But Jesus says to him, do not be afraid, just have faith. So it's a test, again, a test for Jairus. So they keep walking towards the house, and as they approach the house, they can see all of the commotion outside the house, people weeping and wailing with grief over the death of this little girl. So then it's all the more real for Jairus that his daughter is in fact dead. And so what's going on in Jairus's heart then? The weeping outside his house confirms again his deepest fear that his daughter has died. But Jesus says, the child is just asleep. So then Jesus goes with three of his disciples and Jairus and the child's mother, and then he raises her. So it's such a powerful story. But I think it's it's really good for us to look at everything that Jairus goes through on the way to this healing. What's interesting to think about is that it could have been different, in that Jesus could have just went directly to his house before his daughter died and healed the girl. That easily was within his power. But Jesus didn't do that. Instead, he allowed these various painful experiences to happen to Jairus. The waiting for Jesus as Jesus is talking to the woman with the bleeding problem whom he's just healed. And then the people coming up and telling him that his daughter has died, and then they get to the house and all these people are weeping and wailing. It could have been different, but Jesus allows all of these trials to happen along the way, including the death of his daughter. Jesus allows that. Could have been different. Jesus could have gotten there on time, but he didn't. He waited. It's actually quite similar to another famous raising from the dead in the gospel, which is the raising of Lazarus. Jesus finds out well ahead of time of Lazarus's death that Lazarus is very sick, and he waits 3 days to go. And when he gets there, sure enough, Lazarus is already dead. Lazarus's sisters, Martha and Mary, come out separately to meet Jesus once he arrives. And what are the first words out of their mouth to him? They say, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." True statement. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But he waited. And then he heals their brother. How often in our own life do we not understand what God is doing? How often does God allow suffering in our life, trials, loss, that we don't understand? I was just talking the other day to a woman who lost her husband, and she said, "Father, I prayed and prayed that my husband would be healed from his cancer, and I believed that God was going to heal him. And he died anyway." And she talked about how hard that was, how that challenged and tested her faith. So it's good for us to acknowledge how mysterious this life is that God's given us, and how anything in our life, any loss that we've experienced, any good that we've experienced, could have gone another way. God could have allowed something different. And are we able to trust that no matter what happens, Jesus is in control? This is the important thing that we see in this gospel, that Jesus is stopped by this woman, or this Jesus stops this woman and talks to her, and Jairus' daughter dies. And to know that the whole time the Lord's in control. And this is true of our life too. The whole time the Lord's in control of what's happening in our life. Because he's Lord, and all things fall under his power. I was thinking this weekend just about the life of John Paul II, the patron saint of our area faith community, one of my own personal heroes. John Paul II, when he grew up in Poland, Karol Wojtyła was his name. He had one brother and two very loving parents, and his mother died when he was just a little boy, and then his brother died when he was a teenager. When he was 21, his father died. At 21, he didn't have any immediate family left. I wonder if if he prayed that God would heal his sick mother or his sick father. I wonder if he even believed that God would heal them. But God didn't. And God allowed that loss in his life. But because of that loss, he became a saint. John Paul II, because God used that experience in his life to bless so many people, because first of all, he knew what it was like to experience loss. And so as a priest, he could minister to people who had lost so much. But also, that loss of his immediate family, in a sense, freed him to give himself more fully in his ministry. And his parishioners and the university students that he cared for talked about how available he was to them, that he was always there for them. So God used that experience and through it made him a saint. I'm sure Carol couldn't see at the time that that experience was actually going to bless him and bless the world. So this is the difference between our vision and God's vision. Because when we suffer loss, when we suffer trial and hardship in our life, our vision is very limited. We can only see the pain that it's causing us and the loss that it is to us. But what if we had God's vision? God could see how he's using those trials for the good. It doesn't seem like good at all to us at the time. It seems like the opposite of good. But God sees how he can use those trials in order to bless us. Pope Francis talks about faith not as a light that scatters all of the darkness, but rather as a lamp that leads us through the darkness. That's what our faith is. We take with the Lord, accompanying us faithfully in the darkness. By the light of his lamp, we take one step forward and then another step forward. We don't see the big picture. All we see is the light that leads us one step at a time, one day at a time. So brothers and sisters, it's so good for us to see Jesus, first of all, having so much control in this gospel passage. It's his will that both of these people are healed, and he heals them because he's been asked with faith. So that's the first thing we can take from this passage is to ask the Lord for what we need. We can ask him to heal our loved ones. We can ask him to take away this trial or this pain. But then Jesus wants us to go one step deeper in our faith, which is not just believing that he can do what we want him to do, but believing that no matter what he does, he's in control. And that he uses everything, the healings, the loss, the trials, the grief. He uses everything for his own good purposes. So mysterious to us, but someday we'll see it. Someday we'll see how God used all of those hardships and sufferings and loss in our life. And in the meantime, he wants us to have faith that he's in control, that he knows what he's doing, that he uses everything for the good. So today, as we meet the same Jesus at this altar who healed the woman with the bleeding, who raised Jairus' daughter, it's the same Jesus who's here today. Let's not hesitate to ask him for the gift of healing in our own life and the gift of faith that we can always trust no matter what Jesus does.